the world is talking about the events in Orlando this weekend, and we will now do the same. By police reports, one man with guns killed 49 people at a nightclub in Orlando, Florida, after last call early Sunday morning. 53 other people suffered injuries in the shooting. Police ended up killing the shooter. That's the 50th death. The club called The Pulse was a gathering place for the LGBT community in Orlando. The shooter, by some reports, had issues with LGBT people. And police report that he called 911 to pledge allegiance to the Islamic State group, ISIS, before his rampage. We'll gather reactions now from several people. Gina Duquesne is the founder of Southern Oregon Pride, more often called Soap Pride. Welcome back to the studio, Gina. Good to have you.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Janelle Wilson is here as well. She's Southern Oregon University's Associate Director of Student Life for Social Justice and Service. Janelle, thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
And Thomas Arce is with us as well. He's the coordinator of the Queer Resource Center at SOU, which was Janelle's previous job. So thank you for joining us, Thomas.
Thank you.
Janelle, let's start with you, because I actually had a chance to read some of your comments this morning in the paper. I understand your wife turned the TV on yesterday morning. You both, up to that point, had been blissfully unaware of what had happened in Orlando.
Blissfully unaware. I like that. It was a big shock to wake up to this. And where is it? What's happening? What's going on? And as the day progressed, to see, I saw that 20 people had been killed, stepped away for about an hour, came back and saw that 50 people had been killed and 53 people wounded. It's devastating. It's devastating. And to me, when I look at, I just have to touch on this, the gun violence. I feel that this is truly a time when we have to revisit the Second Amendment. Gun violence, assault weapons, I feel, need to be banned. There's no reason for assault weapons. And the hatred, there's so many things that are heavy in my heart right now this morning. I'm just really saddened by all the events of yesterday.
Janelle Wilson, what was your circumstance for finding out?
Similar to Gina, it was yesterday morning. We kind of talked about this, that we had SOU graduation on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Previous to that, we had a Lavender graduation, specifically celebrating our LGBTQ students who were graduating. And so it was coming off of a really good-feeling weekend, and I woke up, and the first thing that my partner said to me was that there had been a mass shooting, and that 50 people were dead, and I was just in shock, and I feel deeply saddened. I also have some feelings of anger, and also just want to be in solidarity with members of our community and really show support for everyone who's hurting.
Thomas Arce, in your role as director of the Queer Resource Center, now again, the students are mostly gone. Graduation at Southern Oregon University was 2 days ago. So, I mean, what kind of official role did you have to snap into, if any, once you got the news?
So nothing too official. Most of it was students reaching out, figuring out like what's going to be happening on campus or what's going to be happening in the Ashland community, and figuring out ways that they can help support or stand in solidarity with of what that looks like. Yeah.
And so there are, Gina Duquesne, I understand, some vigils already planned. I noticed about the time we were getting you organized to come in today that already there had been information about a vigil coming up. Now there's two, I understand, in the Ashland area.
Correct. Tonight at 6:30 on the plaza, we are going to have a gathering. We're going to have some speakers. And it's a time of such great grief, and everyone's hearts are so heavy. It's like when you have a funeral, when someone you love passes, everyone gets together and holds on to each other. I felt like it was really important for us to have this gathering. At 8:30 this evening, there's also going to be a gathering on the bricks. So if you can't, you know, get to one, get to the other one. Let's hold on to each other and let's stand together for our brothers and sisters in Orlando.
The bricks being the central courtyard at the Southern Oregon, at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival.
Yes.
Rather, yeah, which
yes.
Actually is closed for the day because it's always closed on Mondays. Yeah. We have not brought in yet the information that came out of L.A. Just within a few hours of Orlando, which was that Los Angeles police stopped a man who said he was on his way to a gay pride parade. Pride Month goes on in a lot of the country in June because it's mm-hmm. the anniversary of the Stonewall riot in Greenwich Village in New York in 1969. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, when you heard that on top of what you'd heard from Orlando, I mean, what did you think, Janelle Wilson?
I mean, I feel like members of our community who are marginalized are always targeted. And mm-hmm. I would like to say that I was surprised, but I don't think that this is the first time that there's been a threat to our community. It won't be the last, and certainly won't be the only time that members of our Latino community and our people of color who are constantly under threat. If we look at it a little bit differently and encompassing a more like bird's eye view of things, in my opinion, but you know, I think we were nervous that there was going to be a threat for our So Pride event last October. And I'm thinking of all of the gun violence that happens in response to the active shootings on campus. You know, our CPS director, Fred Creek, said that it's not a matter of if, but when. And when we see it so palpably affect our community, it just brings it that sentiment a little bit closer.
I hadn't thought about the calendar proximity that SO Pride in October was probably, what, a weekend after the shooting at Elmcock Community College?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. And, you know, that's, I think, so important for us to get together, not only here in Ashland, but throughout the United States, and people coming together in our community and standing in solidarity. We all are activists. We all need to do what we can for gun violence, to stop the gun violence, the Second Amendment hatred. Mm-hmm. I truly believe that in numbers we are strong. When we gather together in numbers, we are strong. And to let these people see that we will keep moving. We will keep gathering. We will keep marching. We will keep living. We will keep breathing. We will keep moving. Like Janelle said, the anger. I mean, I went from sadness to just outrage. Mm-hmm. And I had to
dial it back a little.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Thomas Arce, so you mentioned being there for students. What kinds of things can you say? I mean, in your position, what do you tell students at this time?
Yeah, so really it's about letting students know, like, what do they need for that support, and really thinking about how what's happened with this horrific acts and what it means for their identity. And so one of the things is students, they're figuring out ways of how they can be visible with their identities. And when you have acts like this that are committed, it's like thinking about how students are then going back into the shadows or figuring out ways of, like, can they be visible or can they actually, like, figure out how they can live in a prideful way.
More discussion of Orlando with guests from the Rogue Valley, and we'll bring in a criminologist from Massachusetts when we return from this break. We are continuing a discussion about reactions from several quarters to the incidents in Orlando over the weekend. 49 people shot dead at a bar that catered to the LGBT community in Orlando. The shooter himself dead at the hands of police, 53 people injured. We have with us in the studio Gina Duquesne, who's the founder of Southern Oregon Pride, Janelle Wilson, who is with Southern Oregon University, where she's the director, associate director of student life for social justice and service. Thomas Arce is the coordinator of the Queer Resource Center at SOU. And now we join as well Dr. Kevin Borgeson, who's an associate professor of criminal justice at Salem State University in Massachusetts. Dr. Borgeson, thank you for joining us. Oh, I understand one of the articles you wrote, and not very long ago, was called Gay Skins, Negotiating a Gay Identity in the Culture of Traditional Masculinity. So I imagine you have spent a fair amount of time looking at criminal justice as it pertains to LGBT matters as well.
Yeah. Years ago, I had the opportunity to interview different people with right-wing hate groups, and it actually was the foundation for my book that I did on terrorism in America, and happened to run into some skinheads, and some of the skinheads were actually gay. And one of the things that the article brings up is the whole issue is that even people that are gay, that are skinheads, sometimes will beat up other gays that they see as effeminate because they basically feel that they're violating masculinity. And so that's really kind of what the article was really kind of about. It was kind of shocking results from doing that kind of research of that you could still have that type of hate crime kind of happening and then their justifications for it.
So with that kind of background, when you heard the news out of Orlando, what sorts of things ran through your mind?
Well, with doing the, I'm doing the second edition on our Terrorism in America book, and I actually just presented at a conference last week on dealing with ISIS and Al-Qaeda and their use of the social media to recruit individuals. And basically, when I heard what was going on, to me it sounded, you know, like the perfect example of the lone wolf terrorist that's recruited by Al-Qaeda or ISIS, in this case ISIS, and basically they use the internet. Their Inspire magazine or Dabiq magazine is the other one that's used, that's online. And basically what they do is they tell them how to go about committing lone wolf terrorist acts, and basically sometimes they even have specific targets, and they'll even give them specific buildings of how to infiltrate the building and to look for soft targets and things of that nature. So after coming up with doing that research, it just all, you know, aligned to me that it was kind of the stereotypical example of what exactly Inspire and Dabiq magazine are trying to influence young disenfranchised youth into joining their organization.
What do you think, what often causes the disenfranchisement?
Well, I think sometimes what they do, you know, when it's no different really than sometimes than like the skinheads that, you know, I interviewed, is that they look for people that really have nothing in their lives and basically use religion as a way of giving them something to look forward to. In other words, your life is so bad right now, but if you commit this act, then basically you're going to have a better place for you, you know, in heaven. So basically, that's kind of the attraction for some of them. For some of them, it's an attraction to violence. I've found that with some of the skinheads and some of the other people that I've interviewed that have been in right-wing extremist hate groups and terrorist groups, that basically they get attracted to the violence, and basically they see it as a means to their solution. And then some of them are just get attracted to it because they're just attracted to violence. It's kind of an Anna Freudian type of a thing, but basically there are some people that see aggression and identify with it and want to act out with doing it. And so I found that with a lot of these these right-wing extremists, that some of them, that's why they've joined. And then years ago when I originally did the first study on them, basically about 4% of the people were attracted to the group because of violent images that they've seen, and they have agreed with that as a means to a solution to carry out their cause. And so their cause may be to go out and kill Jews. It could be gays. It could be Hispanics, Blacks, you know, whoever is their target of choice.
Even without specific prompting or specific inspiration, Dr. Borgeson, does each mass killing give permission for the next, in a sense? I mean, I forget who the psychologist was who defined this, but that, you know, there might be six people who would not consider throwing a trash can through a window in a protest, but when they see five other people do it, then they'll do it.
Yeah, it serves as an example, you know, of for that for them, and you do have that, you know, but then you also get some people that stand back and will let it happen, but enjoy and revel in the fame and say, you know, look what happened, you know. Like, for instance, with some of these right-wing domestic terrorist groups, they will let the skinheads do their dirty work of going out and committing the hate crimes, and then they're young and foolish. And so when they get caught, the hate groups, like the Aryan Nations or the Klan or whatever, basically say, well, he wasn't aligned with us, but we're not disagreeing of what he did was wrong, you know, just that we don't want to be blamed for it, so it was him that did it. So you do get that side of it, too, that goes along with it.
Let me remind our listeners that your perceptions are welcome as well. We're talking to Dr. Kevin Borgeson, who's an associate professor of criminal justice at Salem State University in Massachusetts. We also have in the studio with us Gina Duquesne, who's the founder of Southern Oregon Pride, Janelle Wilson, who is the Southern Oregon University Associate Director of Student Life for Social Justice and Service, and Thomas Arce, who's the coordinator of the Queer Resource Center at SOU. You can join us with your perceptions of what has been happening for the last 48 hours, 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Okay, so vigils tonight, certainly. What other sorts of ways does a community gather, reassure people And then move forward to say that this is a better country than what you're seeing here. Thomas Arce, you want to take that one?
Yeah. So one of the ways that we can offer support, one of the things at Southern Oregon University, we have the Student Health and Wellness Center, and we do have counselors this week for our students that will need any additional support, and that's something that a way for our students to gather and figure out the needs that they have.
And are there specific things that the health and wellness counselors know in terms of dealing with people from the LGBTQ community?
Yes. So we do have counselors that work specifically. I mean, they work with our student population, and they can work specifically with our LGBTQ students as well.
Let me get perceptions from any of you about what the last 12 to 24 months have been like. I mean, because we had the Supreme Court decision that legalized same-sex marriage in every state, in essence. Certainly get resistance in places like Alabama, where the Chief Justice is risking getting removed from office again. But then something as horrific as the incident in Orlando, and who knows what might have happened in L.A. if the police hadn't caught the heavily armed man. Give me sort of a zeitgeist of where your own brain is about the last year or two. Janelle Wilson?
I think something that happens quite frequently is that when there's one organization that has been a diminished or disenfranchised group, when they get certain things, like when we started the QRC, this happened. When the Supreme Court ruled in favor of same-gender marriage, we're seeing a backlash. Like, we see a backlash against those communities. And I think a lot of it, honestly, is probably fueled by people who are currently given really big microphones to speak about how people are less than other people, how some people are better than other people. And then I think with the Dr. Borges and that insight into who is when people are feeling disenfranchised and how they might then latch on to other groups that are going to help support them in a way that will be tearing down other people. I also just think that, again, I think we would be remiss in not acknowledging how people of color are at risk every day in our society. Queer people of color and trans people of color mm-hmm. are exponentially more at risk and are experiencing hate crimes and threats on a regular basis. And so this is an exemplified incident where we have 49 people who are part of who are queer people of color who are gathering in a place that is considered a sanctuary for many, and just getting it just in our faces. I don't even know what to say sometimes. I just feel incredibly sad.
I understand.
Well, I think sometimes when you have minority groups that gain rights, there's always some type of backlash that you see against them, and that's mm-hmm. And that's represented in the hate crime statistics themselves. Race obviously is usually the number one criteria because race is obvious. But basically, your place that you're most likely to be the victim of a hate crime is work or school. And I think that when you see a lot of these things nowadays, is that school is starting to have more issues for transgender issues, and you're starting to see backlashes against that, maybe not with hate crimes but bias instances and stuff too. And I think that that's going to be a growing area that you're also going to see. I know that with my school, we've put up people for bathrooms that self-identify. Anybody can use it how you self-identify, and there are people that disagree with that, and they don't want to change with the times and develop and understand the issue of that people have these rights. And so I think that what you're going to see also at some point is a bigger backlash against transgender coming mm-hmm. up in with the hate crime literature, because basically I think transgender is less than 3% of all hate crimes that are committed.
Gina Duquesne, what do you make of the last year or two, and particularly in the last couple of weeks? Because as Dr. Borgeson mentioned, the dust up focused generally on North Carolina with the passage of House mm-hmm. Bill 2, and people getting into realms where a lot of other people just think, "Come on, it's just people wanting to go to the bathroom as who they are now."
I was asked this question probably about a month ago, and I told a reporter that, you know, transgendered people have been going to the bathrooms that they have been most comfortable, bathrooms that they choose to go into for many, many years. And so now all of a sudden it's brought to, oh, my God, this fear. I think so many people are fear-based, you know, and I don't want to sound terrible, but some of the right-winged religious people, they need to check themselves. It surprises me how these good Christians can pass judgment and say such hate, just, oh God, it just blows me away, just hateful things about other people. And transgendered people have been going to the bathrooms they feel comfortable in for years. Nobody said anything about it. Your children are safe. Why don't we look at other things that are so much more important? And it's like we go three steps forward and two steps backward. The acceptance is not there. And when you have people spewing hatred, and when this ordeal that took place in Orlando, and the man has been on the FBI list, and they had no idea. You can be on an FBI list, interviewed three times, and still go in and buy assault weapons. What's the matter with that picture? There are so many things that too many people are spewing hatred. Nobody's really looking at the job at hand that needs to be done. I am just, I don't know, I'm just really broken up. I'm never lost for words. I feel as if we are, like I said earlier, we're all activists in this. We all have a voice in this. We are either in the gay community or we know someone who's queer. We have family members, everyone. We need to take a stance to this. I thought about what the doctor said earlier about the skinheads having someone else to go out and do their bidding and do their killing, but they not say that they don't say they're responsible for it. And I totally thought about North Carolina when the kid goes out and kills all the black people in the church. South Carolina, and kills all the black people in the church. And you know, they don't really claim to that. They don't, you know, say, oh, we did it. And the child was totally influenced by these people and the hatred that I really feel like maybe I'm a big optimist, but love will win out.
Gina Duquesne is with us, S.O. Pride, Janelle Wilson, and Thomas Arce from Southern Oregon University. Kevin Borgeson is on the line with us from Massachusetts, where he's an associate professor of criminal justice. You can join this conversation on the Jefferson Exchange as we process through Orlando and the aftermath. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Here's a question from Jean in Winston. Welcome to the Exchange.
Oh, hello. Well, I know that traditional Judaism and Christianity are very condemnatory of homosexuality, and I wondered if Islam, I think they're kind of against it, and I think they have death penalty for it in some countries, but I wonder in Islamic beliefs, are they more or less intolerant of gays than Christianity and Judaism?
Kevin, this might be up your alley a little more.
Well, I think it's like any religion, you know, you have to look at it as on a spectrum. You know, it's extremism that kind of gets you in trouble, you know, with whether it's the right or it's the left or whatever. But I think that there are a lot of people that are radical on the Islamic side that are against gays. And, you know, and this is, I think, one of the things that ended up occurring for the Florida incident, you know, that was his belief. Now, it's not everybody's belief. I've been to the Middle East myself. My daughter went to school in the Middle East, and not everybody believes that way. Some people kind of condemn the people that believe that way. But there is that on the radical side that we do see, and obviously this had happened with the incident in Orlando, that he fell on that side of that. So you have to look at it as kind of like a spectrum, you know, just like Christianity. You know, there are people that are against gays and even some like against abortion or whatever, and they commit their violent acts. So it's kind of, I wouldn't say all Muslims are against it. It's just those that are on the extreme side are against it and give all the other people that are good Muslims a bad name.
Let's expand this into how you get people to at least acknowledge each other, if not necessarily talk to each other, which is largely the job, Janelle Wilson, that you and Thomas Arcee have on the Southern Oregon University campus. Your responsibility is not just to students who identify as LGBTQ, but to all students, in your case, more, Janelle. Do you make any efforts at outreach through your office to get people to talk to each other who might not want to otherwise talk to each other, or at least acknowledge each other from a distance?
Yes, absolutely. We are constantly looking for ways to keep having the conversation, and it really comes back to relationship. And when we know, and we, I think we've known that for a long time, when we think that we can distance each other from people who don't look like us or who don't have the same values as us, it makes it easier to dislike them or to fear them. And so our whole role within student life is actually, in my perspective, to get people having those connections, to build meaning through relationship, have the conversations, get to know each other. And again, like, this ties into our value here at the university, but of really becoming global citizens and valuing those differences and being an inclusive space. And my hope is that all of us will be able to engage with people who are different from us, to get to know what it means to have a faith from that is not your own, to be in community with a diversity of people that make up our communities.
Do people ever come to the Queer Resource Center, Thomas Arcee, and say, "I'm not LGBT or Q or anything else for that matter. I just want to know"?
Yes.
Yes. About you.
Yeah, they do, and it's something that I mentioned to our students as they walk into the Queer Resource Center, and our student staff that work there, is that when we have students that walk into the Queer Resource Center, they're not walking in there just with their queer identified identity. They're walking in there with their multiple identities, and that's something that we have to recognize as folks, that when they walk through that door, we're not just serving the students that are LGBTQ identified, but we have to think about also, yes, queer identified. And what are the other social identities that they're holding, thinking of their gender, their racial, ethnic identity, and many other identities that they hold, and how that can make meaning into what they identify in terms of their queer identity.
And you catch them at a time in their lives when they must be very wobbly anyway, because, I mean, they're away from home. They're coming into a college campus. They may be dozens, if not hundreds or thousands of miles away from where they come from and the people they know. So, wow. How do you ease people into learning who they are on their own terms without hurting somebody else in the process?
It's about building relationships, and that's something that the students themselves, that they'll do, and they create that community, and the students bringing them in and having an opportunity to just converse over a person-to-person conversation, and then through that process, learning about their identities and other identities and figuring out ways to support each other through that.
We have an email here from Joe in Talent. He said, "I did a quick survey of my friends on Facebook this morning. I noticed most of the folks who asked for prayers for their cat who was passing an uncomfortable hairball were silent about what was going on in their own backyard. We've been forced into tribes and we don't take prisoners anymore. If we can get radical religion and money out of politics, there's hope we can start talking again." Kevin, let me send that to you about the idea of us breaking into tribes.
Well, you know, I think that part of the problem is with, I think, a lot of these problems that are going on, from at least my standpoint, when I talk to students, is that something, an event like this will happen, and I call it violence du jour. Basically, what happens is that there's a violent act that goes on, we talk about it a little bit, it's in the media, and then it kind of disappears. And then we don't really go back to addressing some of these issues, and it's kind of like an ostrich that sticks its head in the sand, and we never kind of get to the root causes of some of that. And I think that, as somebody brought up earlier about the issue of contact with people, is very important. I've run into, in my research of dealing with the radical right and domestic terrorists, is that it's like some of them have joined because, like, they were younger and they were beat up by somebody that was black, and they were assuming all blacks are violent. And then later on in life, they become these hate mongers, and they hate for years, and then they run into somebody that basically doesn't fit that stereotype that they have anymore. They made contact with somebody that basically they say, you know, this person isn't violent, this person isn't whatever. And basically they end up leaving these organizations, because of the contact that they end up getting with these other people, whether it be somebody that's Jewish, black, gay, whatever it is. I mean, I've seen it through all the years of doing my research for the book on domestic terrorism in America, that contact really kind of meant something, and basically they kind of got out of what they were doing because of that.
All right. I want to remind the audience that there'll be Southern Oregon Pride is hosting a vigil tonight at 6:30 on the plaza in Ashland. A second one will be held at the Bricks at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival Courtyard at 8:30. I neglected to ask folks from around the region to let us know about vigils that might be going on in your town. Email those to jx@jeffnet.org, and we'll attach them to the web piece. You can find them right there at jeffexchange.org. Many thanks to Gina Duquesne, Janelle Wilson, Thomas Arce, and Dr. Kevin Borgeson, all for coming on a difficult day.
Thanks.
Thank you.